All right, while you guys are hugging and high-fiving, which is cool, you can keep doing that. So as I mentioned today, we're doing a Youth Takeover Sunday. Let's give them another round of applause. Worship team did an amazing job. Sticking with our Youth Takeover Sunday, Pastor Daniel Wasink, who helps lead our high school ministry, is going to be doing today's message. So we are super excited to hear what God wants to speak through him. So I'm going to bring up Pastor Daniel and his daughter Alyssa as they lead us out in this morning's reading in God's Word.
All right. Well, good morning. It's so good to be here with you guys this morning. And since it's Youth Takeover Day, I mean, they're doing amazing, right? The worship team was awesome, the announcements, and now we're going to read scripture together. So I'll be reading the odd numbers, and here we go. And you guys will be reading the even numbers with my daughter, Alyssa. So why don't you go ahead and stand for the reading of the word? Psalm 32, the song of forgiveness. And in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Awesome. Let me just make sure this mic is on. Is this one on? I think she turned it off on purpose. So. No, just kidding. Are we good? Can you hear this one? Yeah? For some reason I'm not hearing it. Say something. Say hello or something.
Hi.
Hi. Did you guys hear it? Very low. Let's see. Yeah, thank you. Did we switch it? Did we push something?
Check.
Hey, there we go. All right, let's start over from verse 1. "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered."
"Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit."
In verse 3, it says, "When I keep silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long."
"For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as the heat in the summer."
And in verse 5, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin."
"Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them."
And in verse 7, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance."
"I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you."
"And do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by the bit and bridle, or they will not come to you."
"Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him."
And verse 11, "Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. You righteous, sing, all you who are upright in heart." All right, you may be seated. Thank you. Thanks, Alyssa. All right, Psalm 32, it's the song of forgiveness, the song of forgiveness. You know, music is very powerful. And lyrics you listen to usually get stuck in your head. You know, years ago, here is my buddy and I, Danny. this was a dad's dance that we did a few years ago. And it was a national dance competition. And they actually took the dads to the national competition. And we competed. And we won. And we took the whole thing. Isn't that awesome? Yes, yes, yes. It must have been our looks there, right? So we had all the moves, and we took first place. Now, the thing is about this national competition, in our category, we competed against nobody, but, you know, don't tell anybody that, right? So we still won. We still won. So, and the song that we actually danced to was Twisted Sisters, "We're Not Gonna Take It." Remember that song? "We're not gonna take it. Oh, no, we're not gonna take it. We're not going to take it anymore." Remember? Don't ask me to join the worship team. So I cannot sing, but I sure tried. So that's the song that we did, you know, and when I was in high school singing that song, I think I was literally living out that song too, right? Against my parents, against my teachers and coaches. I was like, I'm not going to take it. I'm a wild child. I'm going to do whatever I want, you know, and that was kind of my high school days. And I lived out that song. But literally today, obviously, it's just a song that's stuck in my head. Back in the 80s, best music ever, in my opinion, 80s music, right? Oh, good. We got some clap. Yes, thank you. Yes. You know, here's a picture of one of our favorite diners. It's actually an 80s diner. I'm so used to 50s diners, but if you go to Oceanside, there's actually a restaurant there. It's one of our favorite places to go. We have our family timeshare there. And right down from the pier, there's this restaurant, eat great breakfast, and they have this 80s diner's place. So I'm like, wow, it's so cool to see that they have like the Dukes of Hazzard there. They got the A-Team, Back to the Future. They even got Michael Jackson there standing in the water. Can you see him? He's kind of next to the surfboard dude. Right? Do you see that? So amazing. This is a cool place. But, you know, even Michael Jackson's songs kind of got stuck. I'm sure you know many of his songs, too, kind of got stuck in my head, you know. Now, in regards to song, since this is the song, right, of forgiveness in Psalm 32, some songs are actually songs of instruction. And here in Psalm 32, it's a psalm of David, a maskil, which is a teaching psalm or one of instruction. So David's looking to give instruction on forgiveness. And it seems to have been written later than actually Psalm 51, which is the immediate confession of David's sin, right? After some reflection, as many have suggested, it might be the fulfillment of the vow contained in Psalm 51, verse 13, which says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." You know, there was a story about 25 years ago in Madrid, Spain, about a father and a son who had a falling out. The son was in the wrong with this disagreement, and instead of making it right with the father, he decided to run off, and he disappeared for days. At the time, the son was around 18 or 19 years old. The father decided to take out a full-page ad in the Madrid Sun, right, section 1, in big, bold letters that said, "Paco, all is forgiven. Come home again. I love you. Sign, Dad." In small letters, it said, "P.S., if you want to meet me and talk things through, meet me at Central Park at 9 a.m. the next day." Well, the reason why this story was picked up by all the major newspapers was because over 800 young men named Paco showed up that day at 9 a.m. Wow, right? All of them hoping it was their dad that put this ad in the paper. You know, we see from this story, in this ad, that the response from all these Pacos, that people crave to be forgiven and for healing to happen in relationships. And whether that's your relationship with God or whether that's your relationship with each other, we do crave that. We do crave to be forgiven. You know, at the end of service today, we will have a response time with the tables in the back where we're going to give you an opportunity to lay those sins at the cross. And we'll give you that at the end. But let's be honest about sin. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable, right? For a season. Man is seeking how he can bring pleasure and peace to his heart. Some not, right? I mean, there are things as we try to find pleasure in this world that are not sinful, you know, going to the beach, going to the mountains, finding a peaceful place to be. Those are not sinful. But maybe if you know that you lust after women in bikinis, maybe you shouldn't go to the beach, right? Okay. Or maybe you have a problem with alcohol. So some that I could have a beer or two, and then some of you leads to 5 or 6 or 7, and then that's being drunk, you know, a drunkard. And the Bible says don't do that, right? So some things are okay, but there are some sins out there that are super pleasurable, and we know this because we still live in a fleshful state, right? Someday, we know our citizenship is in heaven, and someday we will be with God in his presence, and we won't have to struggle with those sinful things anymore. And some of the things that God has given on this earth were meant for our pleasure, but what has happened is we have taken it too far, right? We've taken it too far. And that's what sin is, right? God wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to enjoy the things that he's put on this earth for you to enjoy. But sometimes in our sinful nature, we take it too far, right? And sin is pleasurable for a season. Now, remember this in the Song of Forgiveness. Man's greatest need is to be forgiven, but God's greatest deed is forgiving. Let me say that again. Man's greatest need is to be forgiven, and God's greatest deed is forgiving. You know, King David was in the same boat. He needed to be forgiven. His sin was eating him alive. This psalm was written from King David's perspective when he was dealing with sin that he committed with Bathsheba and the killing of her husband, Uriah, the Hittite. And we find that story in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. You know the story of how this out when the, in springtime when kings would go out to war with their troops, David did what? He remained back in Jerusalem instead. And one evening, David went onto the rooftop and saw a woman bathing. This woman was Bathsheba, and he sent for her. And David then had relations with her, and she became pregnant. Bathsheba sent word to him that she was pregnant. And then David sent for Uriah, her husband, to come home from the war and see him. And David told Uriah to go home and spend the night with your wife. Why did he do that? Because he was trying to cover up his sin, right? He wanted it to be Uriah that, oh, Uriah, you're the one who got Bathsheba pregnant, when it actually was David, right? But what did Uriah do? He did not go home. He actually slept on his mat among his master's servants on the entrance to the palace instead of going home. David questioned him why, and Uriah told David that he could not go home to the comfort of his home and have relations with his wife when all of his fellow soldiers are out in the tents in the open country. David then told him to stay one more night, and then he tried to get him drunk, right? Uriah, what a faithful servant. Right? What a faithful, faithful servant. But here we see still that he didn't go home to be with his wife. So then David decided to write a letter to be sent to Joab that Uriah would actually carry himself. This is a note that I want you to have, Uriah. And it was about him and taking his life, right? And he put what the note said was that I want you to put Uriah out in the front lines. And when the battle becomes fierce, then I want the rest of the men to retreat, right? To retreat and to withdraw back. And the plan worked. They all withdrew back. And what happened to Uriah? He got killed. David not only impregnated his wife, but then he killed Uriah. Two huge sins, right? Right? Committing adultery and killing someone. That is pretty big sins by a man that God called a man after his own heart, right? That was who David was. You know, this morning, we're going to look at three seasons of life and of our Christian faith, right? In our Christian faith, we're going to look at the season of conviction, the season of confession, and the season of confidence. Now, we're not going to start in verses 1 and 2, which is typical, right? We're going to start in verse 3 and 4 because for us, verse 1 and 2 is a summarizing statement of the chapter, and we always put that at the end, right? But David often put it at the beginning, and that's because this is a Hebrew poetry. And in Hebrew poetry, they would summarize even before they would talk about the subject. So the subject this morning is the Song of Forgiveness, and David, right from the get-go in verse 1 and 2, summarized, right? But we here, we typically put our summary at the end. So we're going to start in verses 3 and 4, where it talks about the season of conviction. The season of conviction. So, you know, sometimes if you really want to know the details of a subject, the best thing to do is to find an expert, someone who had the wide experience of it, right? And when we know that David, he would be the one to ask about sin, whether he liked it or not. It's not something to write home about, but he knew, unfortunately, some pretty bad sinful things, right? So, but the amazing thing is that he did write Psalm 32, and the reason he did it was for you and I. Like, we don't have to go out and do what David did. You don't have to experience God's grace by extreme sins. You can experience God's grace by even just being in this world because we all sin. None of us are perfect, okay? Whether it's a blatant sin or whether it's a black and white sin, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but we know that we can experience God's grace, and we know that Scripture was written for you and I so that we can learn from some sins that were done in the past, right? So don't feel like you have to go do something to experience or to be called a man after God's heart, you know, because David was a man after God's heart, but he knew, right? Even like Paul the Apostle said, I'm the chief of sinners, but David knew how good and how gracious our Lord is, because for those who much have sinned, much is what? Much is forgiven, right? Much is forgiven. So he was extremely forgiven, and we can be too, right? And so many scriptures are written for our sake so that we can learn. Although David was considered a man after God's own heart, he did commit these two awful sins of adultery and murder, right? He sinned with a high hand rebellion and with a depth of cunning and deceitfulness, which would even astonish us if we did not know the wickedness of our own heart, right? David was a haunted man. After he had seduced the wife of his most loyal soldier, he arranged Joab for the murder of the man himself. For the best part of a year, David put a bold front and tried to brazen it, but it haunted him day and night. There was a story told about a man that died years ago that was pretty wicked, like King David. Let's call him Johnny for the sake of the story. And his brother's name was Ken. His brother Ken wanted him to be remembered as a good person or a saint. And so the brother Ken decided to meet with the pastor and ask him if during the eulogy he could paint the picture of his brother Johnny being the saint that he really was not, right? The brother Ken even tried to bribe the pastor and said, hey, I'm going to give the church $100,000 if you would please just paint the picture that my brother Johnny is a saint. Well, the pastor said, no, thank you, I'm not taking that money, but I'll try to find something saintly to say about Johnny. Well, the day of the funeral came, and all showed up for the church, even Johnny. The pastor got up and gave the eulogy, and he began to talk about this man's brother, Johnny, and how awful he was, and he made terrible decisions, and he hurt a lot of people. And the brother Ken looked at the pastor in disbelief. The pastor went on with his eulogy and then looked at his brother Ken and said, okay, well, you know, Johnny was a saint compared to Ken. Oh, sorry. You didn't think that was funny. Okay, all right. I thought it was funny. Anyways, could you imagine, right? Being at the funeral of your brother or sister and they saying something like that. What? You're a saint compared to me. All right, anyways, let's move on. You know, sometimes jokes hit hard, you know, and I hear a lot of good laughs, and sometimes people just sit there and go, what did you do to Pastor Daniel? That was a horrible joke. All right, you know, many times we see how bad in person, or we see, let me say this, many times we only see how bad the person is next to us and don't realize the sin that is lurking in our own hearts, right? David, at this point in verse 4 and 5, was in a flat-out rebellion for about a year. He kept silent and did not speak of his sin or look to be forgiven for what he had done. This sin was eating him alive. He was groaning and moaning. His strength was sapped, as in the heat of the summer, it says here. He was in a drought emotionally, spiritually, and physically. But God's hand was heavy on him and would not let him get away with what he did. God would not let him stay in his sin. In Hebrews 12, it says that God will chasten the ones that he loves. He will chasten the ones he loves. God loved David and would not let him stay in that sinful state. Remember this, right? Man's greatest need is to be forgiven, and God's greatest deed is forgiving. You know, I know there are many of us here this morning who have never committed adultery or killed someone. I would say to you this morning, the heart is desperately wicked. Be careful, right? Be careful. Jesus said, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery, right? And in Matthew 5, it says, if you get angry with someone, you are subject to the judgment. You're going down the wrong road that leads to destruction. Now, if you lust after a woman, are you literally committing adultery? No. Someone who literally commits adultery, that is a worse sin. But one thing leads to the what? Another. That's what I was telling the youth last week in our high school group. Guys, one thing leads to another. Set up boundaries. Set up things that you can protect your heart, right? Don't say, I have the freedom to do whatever I want to do. You do. That's true. You do. But don't use that freedom where you're going to stumble and fall. And you're not going to only hurt yourself, but you're going to hurt those people who love you and who are around you, right? One thing leads to another, and we have to be super careful. And God will not allow us to stay in our sin. He loves us too much. He will do everything in his power to bring us to our next point, and that is here, the song of forgiveness, and it's the season of confession, the season of confession in verse 5. David does just that. He finally, after a year, acknowledges his sin. The three words for sin used here in the beginning of this passage is also found here in verse 5, and if David acknowledges his sin, it's an offense, sometimes it's habitual. He states that he did not cover his iniquity, the evil or mischief. And lastly, he confesses his transgressions, rebellion to God, right? David's sin was confessed. He did not hold back from confession in any area, and thus all his sin was forgiven. David confessed it all, and God forgave it all. The slate was wiped clean, right? David confessed his sin to God first, not his wife or his friends or coworkers. Our sin first and foremost is against God. In Psalm 51, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only, God, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." This is not to say that we don't hurt people along the way. We do, and it's important to apologize to them too. It's important to confess our sins to someone who can keep us accountable, right? So I would say this. First and foremost, you guys, when we sin, we're sinning against God and we're hurting him. Our relationship with him is the most important. And when you sin against him, you're breaking some ties, right? You're hurting that relationship, right? And so first and foremost, like as David said in Psalm 51, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm confessing my sin to first and foremost to you. And then I go to that person who's offended and I tell them, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I screwed up here. Please forgive me." And then in some situations, you might need accountability. You might need somebody to confess your sin to and to have that. You're not going to spread it to the whole church, but you're going to find that accountability partner. You might need that. You might need that accountability partner, you know. And that is something that if you do need here this morning, please see Pastor Caleb or myself, or I know Greg Berg, you can see him, okay? please go to one of us, and we would love to help you get that accountability partner. You know, have you ever sold a house and moved to another location? If so, you know the staging of your home and decluttering it is super important. The whole house has to be clean and presented well. You cannot leave even the closet messy or full of junk, or at least I should say you shouldn't, right? If you want to get top dollar for your house, you got to stage it. You got to make it clean. You got to clean those closets, right? Well, the same thing goes for having the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God wants to live inside us with areas that are not still dirty and full of sin. He wants it all clean. What does light have to do with darkness? Nothing, right? You have to confess all your sins and not hold on to one of them. Don't leave the skeleton in the closet. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Right? Well, you might be saying, Pastor Daniel, you might be thinking to yourself, I've not committed transgressions like King David without his flat-out rebellion with adultery and committing murder. Well, maybe you're not at that place, but what about those gray areas in your life? What about the gray areas? You know, there are some sins that are simply black and white. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? We know those, right? We know there are certain scriptures that just are completely black and white. But there are also gray areas. The gray areas would be those sins that directly affect you and maybe not somebody else. This is what scripture says in James 4:17. For those who know to do good and do it not, to them it's sin. Let's expound on this a little bit. You know, in this verse, for some of us, this applies differently for all of us. For me, it's knowing that I need to take time to develop a relationship with my neighbors, okay? For me, it's to live out my conviction to be all in as a dad and invest in the next generation. That's me. If I don't do it, I'm sinning. God told me in my heart, you be all in with your kids. You be all in with these high schoolers. So here I am. You know, Caleb gave me an opportunity to be here with you guys and to be with these high schoolers, and I'm so thankful for that opportunity, right? Thank you. Thank you. So thankful. And for you, I'm not sure. Maybe it's similar. Hey, we can use some youth leaders. You know who's in that youth group with me? Me. Well, in the Holy Spirit. But, you know, if you feel called, hey, I would love to talk with you, and maybe that's an opportunity for you to serve our youth, because hanging out with these guys is pretty cool, I'm telling you. We have a lot of fun. I mean, you saw the worship. You see they enjoy life, and so they rub off on me, and so I get to enjoy life too, right? So if you want to enjoy life, go hang out with these guys, because life is good with these guys. So, but who knows? I don't know. I can't pinpoint for you what that might be, what that gray area might be. It might be something God's putting on your heart, and you say, no, God, I don't want to do it. No. No, 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 not me, not me. And God's like, yes, you. Yes, you, right? Let's move on to point three here in the season of confidence. We can have a season of confidence, and we go back now to verse one, right? David started his instruction in this passage by saying, blessed is the one, meaning the person whose transgressions are forgiven and sins are covered is already happy because of what God has done for him. David starts with this happiness in this passage, but of course, this morning we're ending with it. Happiness comes from knowing you are forgiven, that your sins are washed white as snow. He forgives it. Forgiven literally means to have our sin lifted off. Before the sin is confessed, we bear it like some great burden. But when we confess it, to God, he lifts it off our shoulder. Are you walking around this morning with some sin in your life that you're feeling bogged down by, that maybe has a hold of you? We know what sin does, don't we? We know how addicting it can be, right? Because there is pleasure in sin. We know that for a season. We don't want to be in that season, right? We want to be in the season that God says, you can have confidence that your sins are forgiven and that I will empower you to say no. And sometimes that takes an accountability partner, right? Sometimes that's what it takes. You know, when we stop trying to cover up our unrighteousness and sin, God then begins to move through his forgiveness. We got to stop trying to cover our sins, you guys. The world sometimes thinks, oh, Christians, you're supposed to be perfect. No, we're not perfect. We're just forgiven. No, I'm not going to cover up my sin. I'm not going to blast it to the whole world, but I am going to be real, right? I am going to be truthful that, hey, okay, yeah, I struggle with this. Now, some of those struggles, like I said, don't blast it to the whole world. Maybe it's an accountability partner for you one-on-one, right? But the world needs to know that we're real, that we struggle just like them, right? We're no different, except the only missing piece that they don't have is God in their life, right? A powerful God who gives you the Holy Spirit to say no to sin and have the confidence, right? The confidence. You could be happy that your sins are forgiven, right? In Romans 4, 6 through 8, it says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does never count against him. Wow, we can have confidence that he forgives it. He refuses to count it against us. That's pretty cool, right? That's pretty amazing. Because who should be paying the price for our sins? We should be. I should be, right? I'm the one who committed it. Why is God paying the price for me? I'm the one that did it. I should be paying the price, right? But he's like, man, I love you so much. I'm going to come to this cross, and I'm going to pay it for you. Wow. I mean, that's a, right, mind-blowing thing that our God could have just wiped out this earth. He could have just started over, but no, he sent his son. He sent his only begotten son to die on that cross for you and I and anybody else in this world who wants to have that relationship with Jesus. Linsky says this, no sinner, and try he hard, can possibly carry his own sins away and come back cleansed of guilt. No amount of money, no science, no inventive skill, no armies of millions, nor any other earthly power can carry away from the sinners one little sin and guilt. Not even one little sin. Once it's committed, every sin and its guilt cling to that sinner as close as does his own shadow. Cling to all eternity unless God carries it away for him. Listen, your sin is right there like your shadow. It's following you around. Okay? Wherever you go, it goes. Until you go with the season of confidence, knowing that Christ has paid it all upon that cross, and I no longer have to be controlled by that sin, right? Yeah, I might struggle. Doesn't mean you don't still struggle. Some of us think, oh my gosh, what am I doing wrong here? I'm still struggling with this sin. Doesn't mean that you're not going to still struggle, brothers and sisters. We know that we do, right? And some things are just, you know, I look back upon my last 20 years and I go, okay, well, 20 years ago, man, I'm not dealing with that anymore. So praise God for that, right? But there might be some other things that I'm still struggling with, right? And I need that accountability and I need prayer, right? So, you know, I just want to say that sin can be washed white as snow, right? We know that. We know that. Scripture tells us that. You know, every so often, I pick up the laundry and I do the laundry. It's one of those blessings of being married that my wife for 22 years has kind of taken over that role. 22 years ago, I was doing my own laundry, and now there's a family of four, and you know, that's a lot more laundry and a lot more dirty laundry, and you know, it's quite the process, right, to do laundry. I mean, you guys probably too have to literally set aside probably a day, right, to do your laundry, and it takes a while, especially for a family of four, right? And you know, some clothes are super dirty, and some are maybe not as dirty, and that's just kind of like sin. Some are super sinful, and maybe some sins are not as sinful, but they're still sinful, right? And you know, we need those clothes to be washed, right, and cleaned, and we need our sins to be cleaned too. And you know, I think the thing about that I always think about is that, you know, man, we can get our clothes clean, white as snow, right? We can get them so, so clean. We just got to throw some bleach in it, whether it's colors or whites, right? So, just kidding. So, luckily, I don't do the laundry. So, don't throw that bleach in the color. Otherwise, my clothes might be a little spotted, right? But we can have our sins washed white as snow. Super clean, just like when the laundry is done, right? Wash those dirty sins away, right? By the blood of the Lamb. So, you know, this is what happens for all Christians. We confess our sin to God. He removes it as far as the east is from the west. In Psalm 103:12, that's what it says. How far? Do you guys know how far the east is from the west? Far, right? Yeah, well, my high school students were there. You guys know, and how far the east is from the west, and maybe your science class, right? You know, it's pretty far, right? Okay, it's pretty far. He removes it as far as the east is from the west. Actually, the east to the west, there's no ending point, right? There's actually no ending point. It goes on forever, right? That's amazing to me that God forgives us like that. You know, you can live in a state of being blessed and happy by knowing your sins are forgiven. We can live life to the fullest by accepting that fact. Jesus has paid the price for you and I upon the cross. He has shed his blood for our sins. Let him forgive you. Let him not count it against you. If you do, you will be the happiest you've ever been, right? Something that money can never buy. You know, sometimes we are way too hard on ourselves, right? I think of Romans 7, you guys, where, oh, you know, woe is me, right? This wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, it goes on in Romans, thank goodness for Romans 8. It goes on to Romans 8, verse 1, where it says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who are walking after the Spirit and not the flesh. Are you guys walking after the Spirit? Do you desire to have a great relationship with God? Do you desire to please Him? I know you do. I know you do. And I do too, but we still sometimes have those struggles. But I encourage you, memorize Romans 8:1 for your own sake. No condemnation, because the devil's going to come in, guys. He's going to plant seeds in your mind and saying, you're not worthy. You're sinful. How could God use you? How could God use you? That's what he's going to say. That's what he said to me. I'm sure. I know if he's saying that to me at times, I know he's saying that to you too, right? How could God use you, you sinful person, you, right? And the thing that I got to say is, you know what the Bible says, you guys? Take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. Don't let Satan put those thoughts in your mind, or your flesh, just put those in your mind. Don't do that. Don't go down that road. I know it's hard for us humans to understand and grasp the grace that God has given upon that cross. I know it can be difficult, but we have to believe Scripture. Don't believe your emotions, right? Your emotions will lead you astray. I know it has led me astray many, many times. Don't believe your emotions. Memorize Scripture. Hide God's word in your heart, it says, so that you what? So you don't sin against Him, right? Hide God's word in your heart so you don't sin against Him. Remember those Scriptures that say there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not the flesh, right? Amen? Amen. Now listen, as we wrap things up here this morning, Orange County, California does not really have seasons, does it? Although this last, wow, we've had a lot of rain, right? And now all of a sudden we're having a lot of heat, right? But compared to like the East Coast, right, where, you know, leaves are turning colors and they literally have seasons, right? I would say Orange County doesn't compare, although we came a lot closer this year, right? I mean, we even had something called grapple. Is that what it's called? Grapple? Something between hail and what is hail and rain? Is that something? something, grapple, right? Did you guys see that when it came down? It was like, it almost looked like, oh no, it's between hail and snow. That's what it is. It's grapple. It's not quite snow, although some of you might be bursting your bubble here because you thought it was snowing in Orange County, right? Okay, so we're like, it's snow. I thought it was snowing. I'm like, it's not coming hard down hard enough like hail, but it's not quite snow. So what is it? So I think the terminology, if I'm saying it correctly, grapple, right? Am I saying that right? Anybody know? Okay, well, just believe me, I guess, then, right? So I think it's grapple, right? So we don't really have seasons here, although we've seen some crazy seasons the last couple months, or weather, I should say. You know, there are seasons, I want to say this, too, about in our life as a Christian. But for the most part, I would hope and pray that we could be like Orange County, California, and not have drastic weather changes or drastic changes with our walk with Christ. Yes, we'll have seasons of conviction, you guys. We're going to have seasons of confession, right? But may they be short. I would pray that the season we stay in most would be the season of confidence and happiness. Confident that our sins are forgiven us, and that Jesus has paid the price for us all. We have to have this confidence, you guys. We have to have that confidence in Scripture and know there's no condemnation for us. Don't forget that. Don't forget He forgives you. Don't forget He refuses to count it against you. You know, when's the last time you've confessed your sin to God? You know, there's probably two types of people here this morning and online. One is a person who's never asked Jesus into their life. Person who's never looked to have that relationship with Jesus. Some who's never confessed their sins at that capacity. And then the rest of us here are probably those who've probably been walking with Christ for maybe some time. And we're probably maybe thinking we're doing okay. And maybe you are. Maybe you are in that season of being confident. But if you're not quite there, we want to get you there. We want to help you get to that place where you can be confident that Christ has wiped away my sins, right? And so this morning, we are going to have a responsive time to respond to the message here this morning, because I believe the Bible says what? Not only to hear the word of God, but to be a doer of the word. Right? And that's not just here this morning. That's as we go out Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, right? We got to be a doer of God's word. But I believe it can start here, right now. And so we're going to just play a song here. I have it going just in 1 second. And for those online or those here who maybe have never like made that commitment to Christ, and you're realizing, man, I, like Paco, I crave to have a relationship with the God of this universe. I crave to be forgiven. I crave to be forgiven by the God of this universe. I crave to be forgiven by those who I've hurt, right? That might be you. And so I'm going to be playing a song, and we're all going to bow our heads and close our eyes, and I'm just going to have you raise your hand if that might be you as we respond to God here. But all those who are believers too, I think I got the song going. Is that it here, respond? Or do I need to click one more time? There it is. There it is. So go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to just have a responsive time as a song is playing.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome?
You might have felt this morning that God was convicting you of something.
You who
have never had a relationship with Christ, you might be feeling, oh my gosh, this is my moment. This is my opportunity right here. Right now, give my life to Jesus. And so if there's anybody in this room or anybody online who is like, man, I have not committed my life to Christ, I want to do that right now. I'm just going to encourage you to raise your hand right where you're at. Don't worry, nobody's looking. The only person that's looking is me or Pastor Caleb, maybe some of the elders, because we want to keep you accountable. We want to help you through this process. We want to pray for you. Nobody's looking. This is really between you and God. If there's anybody here who's never asked Jesus to your life, I encourage you, raise your hand. This is your opportunity. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. You don't know if you're going to walk out of this place and get in a car accident and leave this earth. Man, you need Jesus. You need him to enter into the presence of God. You want him? Super simple. He paid the price, cross. Feel free to raise your hand and we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Make sure you raise it nice and high so we can see it. And so, Lord, we pray for those right now who raised their hand, that you would help them walk with you, Jesus, that they would surrender their heart and their life to you, that they would understand what they're doing, that they would understand how awesome it is to have a relationship with the God of the universe who has forgiven them. And so, Lord, would you bless them? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, so that was those who've never done that before. And so if that was you, please come see Pastor Caleb. Please come see me or one of the elders of the church. And now for those who are you, the rest of you who are believers, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to some of the things that maybe you're struggling with this morning. Some of the things that you're like, gosh, I can't kick this thing. This is hurting me and it's hurting the people around me. And I'm done. And I need you, Lord. I need you to help me through this challenge. God, help me. Then there might be some of you who are like, hey, I'm not like in this deep, dark sin, but you know, I might be not doing something that God's telling me to do. Maybe it's one of those gray areas. And you're like, no, I know, God. I'm not going to just go through this earth and just live life, but I want to live life to the fullest. And I want to be used by you, God. And if you're calling me to do something, I don't want to sin by not doing it. That might be you this morning. I'm not sure what category you fall in, but as we respond this morning, I'm going to play the next song here. I'm going to literally ask you to get out of your seat and go to the back table. Don't write your name on the little sticky notes, but there's some pens back there. And there's some things, it's write something maybe that, hey, God, you're telling me to do this and I'm not, right? Or I'm struggling with pornography. Or I'm struggling with whatever, being angry, okay? Or you're saying, go talk to my neighbor and I'm not doing it. I'm struggling. I'm going to write that down, right? I'm going to write that down and I'm going to write it on the sticky note and I'm going to come up to the cross here and I'm going to put that sticky note. And so I suspect this whole cross is going to be filled with sticky notes because, right? Let's be real. Man, we struggle, right? And there's things that are sinful in our life that we want to get beyond, ask God to forgive us and be confident that we can be confident in our relationship with Christ and confident with what he has done for us. And so as this next song is playing, I'll be praying for you. I encourage you to stand up and go to the back of the tables and write down something and come put it on the cross.
You know, as we observe the cross, and we recognize that we are all broken with an amazing God, died on this cross for us so that all of these could be what? Forgiven. But we all have needs. We all have areas where we're growing, and that's what makes church so special. We get to do this together. We are all people that have this in common. We have the grace, the love of Jesus. So we're going to take a moment. We're going to pray. It's kind of like what we did yesterday. We're out there pulling up weeds, and putting in mulch, and God's doing the same thing this morning. As Pastor Daniel is preaching, he's showing us areas where God's saying, hey, I'm going to take this out. I don't want it choking out the fruit, the work that I'm wanting to do. And then today, as he's taking those things out, he's pouring in love and grace and truth and power, the power of God's Spirit as we respond. So let's take a moment and let's pray as we celebrate the work that Jesus has done for us on the cross. Jesus, as we just stand in this place this morning, responding to the work of the gospel in our hearts. Lord, we recognize that we all have areas, God, where you are showing us. We thank you for that Nathan, like the power of your Holy Spirit, that doesn't leave us in that place of guilt and fear and shame and running. You draw us to yourself. Lord, and like that Paco story, we're running to you and your grace. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the message of forgiveness, for the victory of the cross. Lord, I thank you for a church where we can come as sinners, saved by grace, growing in grace together. And so, Lord, I would pray for each person this morning, myself included, for those areas that you are showing us, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit so that we can grow into being those conquerors, those people that are learning, Lord, the fullness of this life that you have called us to. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing in and through our church. And we celebrate it today. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.